It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimera's Comics. Located in LaGrange, Illinois, Chimera's is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimera's Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
This is an emergency podcast.
Our first emergency podcast.
Of Caffeinated Comics.
We're
going to try to get this out as soon as possible, so hopefully it's not doesn't come out so late that like we already know this. But yesterday it came out, actually.
The Titanic sank yesterday.
Yes, the Titanic.
Again.
It's a very sad day.
It's a sad ship.
But I was interviewing Bill Monroe for our podcast, and in the middle of the podcast, we do the phone calls on Skype, and as I was checking Facebook, because he was messaging me some stuff, the news hit that J.J. Abrams has signed on to direct Star Wars.
The creator of the Muppets.
Right. Oh, we have...
Wait, what?
No.
Come on. You're saying a lot of weird shit today, Dave.
As always, I'm John Clark with my co-host.
Stephen Brown.
We have David Redfield in the studio.
Hello, how are you?
This needs to go out so fast. This will be your introduction. So I think on one of the other podcasts, we'll make a bigger deal about you.
Uh-huh.
And people will be like, well, we already
know that guy. Yeah. He's boring.
Like, yeah. He must have done something nice.
I'm pretty
nice guy.
He must have bought the coffee.
Yeah. I did not.
Yeah, but the interesting thing was in December when it was rumored that he was in talks about it, he came out and said, there's no way I'm doing it because I'm doing Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And talks about what, John?
And now he's doing both.
Both what?
Star Trek and Star Wars.
What is he doing? Directing them? Writing them?
He is directing them.
Oh,
Star
wow.
Wars 7. I do not know this. Are we explaining this to you? Or are you?
No,
being
no,
the
I'm
audience?
Fully aware. I'm just
the studio.
I'm thinking of
for
like
the
as the listeners out there who are like, J.J. Abrams,
who is
he?
J.J. Abrams? Well, now you know.
J.J. Abrams is the director of Star Trek and...
Not the inventor of the Muppets.
No, not the inventor. He's the inventor of Star Trek. He made a warp engine.
He also did Alias, responsible for
right,
Alias.
Alias Lost.
Yes.
Was oh,
it,
God,
which
was
he handed
him?
Off to... Yeah, which he handed off to Damon Lindelof and...
Didn't he also work
Felicity
on...
Felicity was his, wasn't it?
I think so. Oh, man, we're going to get so much threat mails from people.
Yeah. And Fringe,
I know
Fringe is him?
Fringe was him. He also was... what's that? Mission Impossible 3?
Mm-hmm.
Did he do the script for it? And
he directed that.
He directed that and Armageddon.
Right, and Super 8.
Wait, he did Armageddon?
Yeah.
Oh, he wrote Armageddon.
He wrote Armageddon.
Michael Bay directed Armageddon.
Michael Bay directed. He wrote Armageddon, and he did do Super 8.
This is
with
why we
Spielberg.
Have Dave here, because he knows all this stuff.
I don't know anything. I just make it up on the fly. No, but no.
Well,
he
as
did.
I recall, I sent Steven a Facebook message that said, this has to be our next podcast. And then you commented and said, I have to be on it.
Oh, no, I had...
That,
I
demanded.
And that created some mad scrambling this morning.
To make this happen.
Where my wife's a little mad at me.
Is she?
Oops. I was supposed to go to a thing, but then it was like... Oh,
this is
the
thing.
Time. We need to be this time. Dave is actually working now. Is someone in the store, or did we shut down the store?
We didn't shut down the store.
I activated a life model decoy.
We have life model decoys for just in case this kind of emergency comes up.
We should just keep them going all the time.
Yeah.
Who's to say
like,
we don't?
It's like the robot receptionist in the Baxter Building.
That's why you'll never really find me at Chimera's Comics.
Yeah. Also, quick info. I think he was, he worked, one of his first real Hollywood gigs was working with Spielberg. He was like the script advisor for Jaws. I don't know. I could be.
He could just be making this
original Jaws.
No.
He's not that old. He's not
no.
that old.
He's not?
No.
How old is he? Like 12?
He's, no, he's like early. Yes, he's 12.
Man.
It's a lot.
They grow up so
he
fast
started,
nowadays.
He started the business at two.
Yeah.
He was an embryo in Kerry Russell and
no,
picture Felicity.
I apologize.
From within
I apologize. He they did a Spielberg like an interview with Spielberg. They were talking about War Horse and all this stuff. J.J. Abrams was on it, and I remember they were discussing working on Super 8, and they were at Spielberg's house, and J.J. Abrams was like looking over some of his scripts. And he grabbed Jaws' script, and as soon as he opened up the script, it like fell on that page where it says, we're going to need a bigger boat. And that line was actually written in when they shot it. It wasn't like the original line for the script. And that's why I'm thinking he was like the script advisor.
Because he saw a script.
Yeah, he saw the script.
It's a good thing we pulled you in here.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
He knows these things, man.
But now the big thing, I think there are two big questions about this. Number one, you know, what does this mean for Star Wars? Number two, what does it mean for Star Trek? Because Star Trek Into Darkness is coming out this summer. I don't think anybody's expected it to be the last. If nothing other than directors usually do trilogies, if not one film. It's rare that a director will do two films and then leave, unless there's a problem. Like
unless you're John Favreau.
Or Bryan Singer on X-Men. Yeah. You know, and usually there's a problem.
Yeah, they like walk away from the project. But right. What this is kind of a little unusual, just because you've got, I mean, Star Trek, Star Wars is like two sides of like, it was one or you're on one side or the other.
They're
you know,
the yin
like,
and yang of American sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no bigger franchise. Star Trek is the biggest television sci-fi franchise, and Star Wars is the biggest movie television franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go up movie against movie, Star Trek loses because those are not big budget movies,
right.
Except for J.J. Abrams. I mean, you can't put Wrath of Khan up against Empire Strikes Back.
No. Well, and that's what So you said he did an interview. He said, I'm not going to do Star Wars.
He sent out a press release and said, I'm not doing it because I'm focused on Star Trek.
And then they were like, big pile of money. And he's just like, I'm doing it.
Yeah. So is he going to do both? And then what does it mean for one guy to control both universes?
You know what it means?
What?
Crossover. Fucking Spock is going to fight Obi-Wan Kenobi with lightsabers.
That seems illogical, Steven.
I don't know, man.
Yoda and Spock team up together. Oh my God, it's going to be a spin-off TV show. They're going to solve mysteries.
It's going to be CSI.
It should be CSI.
Yoda and Volk. What is Yoda? Does Yoda's species have a name?
I don't know.
He's just Yoda.
He's whatever Kermit the Frog grew up to be or something like that.
No, Yoda is Frank Oz.
He grew ears.
Jim Henson. That's the major difference there. That's what I love about Yoda in Empire Strikes Back. For the first 10 minutes, he's Grover.
Yeah.
Like when he's being goofy, it's the Grover voice.
It's Grover,
it's
yeah.
It's kind of like how we were saying Danny DeVito does the penguin voice on It's Always Sunny, Philadelphia. When Frank Oz is feeling silly with Yoda,
he does a Grover voice. It's his go-to voice.
Yeah. I always imagine him running in the swamp going, "Near far."
There should be like an outtake or something, you know, like Star Trek, like, or Star Wars, like outtakes.
What is, what's your thoughts, John, on J.J. Abrams, Star Trek, and Star Wars?
My one worry, to jump right into it, is that it might dilute both franchises having one guy run it. Because, let's put it this way, J.J. Abrams wakes up in the middle of the night with a great sci-fi idea. Now the first thing he has to wonder is, who gets it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But didn't you say he's hopping off, like he's not doing the third?
No one knows. And as I've been looking at the press releases, the press release that he's directing Star Wars is coming directly from Lucasfilm. So you're seeing the quotes are guys like Dennis Muir and Ben Burtt, the guys who had worked on every Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy, who produced all the Indiana Jones and is now running Lucasfilm now that Lucas has stepped down. There's nothing from J.J. Abrams' camp. And there's obviously nothing from CBS or Paramount about what this means for Star Trek.
This Star Wars movie is a... It's just like its own, completely removed from all the other six movies. It's going to just be like its own.
No, it's episode 7.
Oh, it is. I heard rumor that they were like, all right, we're just going to go completely out in the right field with this.
There have been rumors about spinoff movies.
Yeah.
And I just saw a headline that said they're going to treat it like Marvel and maybe move around the universe. But J.J. Abrams is doing episode 7, which the script is done. It's written by Michael Arndt, who did Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine. Which was also a big difference because Star Trek is... Both films were written by his brain trust,
mm-hmm.
by Damon Lindelof, who ran Lost, Curtin and Orsi, who ran Fringe, and worked on the first Star Trek, obviously, and some of the Transformers. And Brian Burke, who I think was a producer on Lost. It was like basically he wrote it in a room with... Like those five guys.
Like his trusted crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Star Wars, he's taking a script by somebody who's really good.
And I think I like that idea a lot.
Do they have, and I don't know anything about this, do they have the, like, Mark Hamill, like Harrison Ford, are these people, like, they're like, let's do it, they're signing on?
The story that's been out is that Lucas sat the three of them down and said, this is the plan. But, of course, they didn't say what the plan was, and they said all three of them were on board.
But when did that happen? I remember
right around the time that Lucas sold to Disney.
Really,
that story came out, and even Harrison Ford has always been pretty vocal about that he didn't really like the character of Han Solo.
He wanted him to die in Empire.
Yeah, he wanted him to die. He wanted him to not come back.
Yeah, but the carbonite thing was kill him.
Yeah, and then he also wanted him to die at the end.
Yeah.
And he has said there's no ill will between him and Lucas because Lucas gave him Indiana Jones. He said he would play Indiana Jones forever if he could.
Yeah.
But he had no interest in the Star Wars universe. And the rumors that are floating around is that Episode 7 will take place like 40 years after Jedi. Mm-hmm. And the three of them will play the same roles as like 60-year-olds. And the story will be about that next generation of new Jedi.
That could be kind
of
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but now with J.J. Abrams directing, it could be really good. My thought has been, and we didn't start the podcast when Disney bought Star Wars, but my feeling has always been that this is good for Star Wars because it's not only are the prequels pretty much disappointing to everyone. I don't think there's anyone who will say that the prequels are better than the
original. I got an 8-year-old nephew who would disagree with you.
Does he?
No, he's like 8 years old. Kids, yeah. I think kids think it because they look cooler. For like a kid, they've got like effects, they've got all these things, like kids just need like eye candy. Yeah, and they don't care, like the story sucks and the acting shit.
My little brother is huge on the clone, like Clone
Wars.
Yeah, he loves that. Like, I think he dressed up as a clone trooper 3 times in a row for Halloween.
Yeah, my son likes Star Wars, will not watch any of it. I think we've done Star Wars, Empire, and Phantom Menace. I've tried like all those different approaches with him, and he's always been out of the room after about an hour. Even during the pod racing scene.
Man.
He's into the characters. He knows, like, all the characters' names. I still have a bunch of toys from, you know, the 80s and 90s when the special editions came out, and he plays with those. But he's actually paid more attention to Star Trek when it's on. Star Trek he makes fun of.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no, Star Trek is boring. But Star Wars, he won't watch. And Clone Wars, we try. I mean, Clone Wars, to me, I find it pretty dull. I find it kind of stiff. So, like, every year I give it another chance, and I last about a month or two.
Yeah.
Well, you can't do anything in that world, that Clone Wars cartoon, because it's like everything has been...
It's locked between episode 2 and 3.
Yeah, so it's like,
nothing
all right,
crazy can happen.
Yeah. Like, every time they're like, will Obi-Wan die? It's like, no, he won't, because I saw him in the third movie.
Right.
Yeah. And in, like, New Hope and everything else.
Yeah, and the one character they introduced for it is, like, a little girl, and you're not going to kill off a little girl.
Not yet.
Yeah, and I guess they could just introduce, like, a Jedi, and like, oh, this new Jedi, keep him around for, like, 3 episodes and then kill him. But that's like, well, who cares about this?
Yeah, but the problem is you build up a character Jedi like that so much, you're like, well, I didn't see them in episode 3.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to kill anybody in Clone Wars because it is for a younger audience.
It's a kid's cartoon.
So my feelings has been since the prequels that it's slowly been circling the drain, I think. There's been less and less interest every year. Star Wars was considered an evergreen property for a long time. And I remember that was proven when Lord of the Rings was done, is that it was very surprising. Lord of the Rings, when it was out, was as big as Star Wars. I mean, The Hobbit is still huge, even though people are mixed on it. But once it left theaters, the merchandising and just dried up. Where Star Wars is able to put out product year in, year out.
Yeah, there's always Star Wars shit at
Toys R Us. And nothing has been able to do that other than superheroes. But superheroes are evergreen because the comics are out every month, and there's always an animated series.
Yeah.
There's always a TV show. There's always a movie.
Something.
Do you think it's... the other thing I do enjoy about Star Wars is this expanded universe, which is honestly the only real reason like I'm excited about sequels, like Episode 7. Like, the prequel thing never really... I was never interested in prequels because it's like, well, I know this guy turns out to be that guy, and I'm fully aware of what happens to these people. So I never felt the need for a prequel. That's why I never liked the Star Wars 3 prequels besides being written and directed by George Lucas. But what I'm really happy about the sequels, despite, like, for me personally, because J.J. Abrams is doing Star Trek, hearing that he's also doing Star Wars is like, oh, so it's going to look a lot like Star Trek.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's my biggest dilemma.
I'm worried about, especially because with Star Trek, he rebooted everything.
Uh-huh.
So his movie doesn't look like any Star Trek before. No. It doesn't look like any of the series. Yeah. It doesn't look like any of the other movies.
It's its own
thing. So that's his vision. He's doing the first of this trilogy, and you can say, well, it's set in the Star Wars universe. There's only so much he can push it. But you think about how different Phantom Menace looks from A New Hope.
Yeah.
That's how far he could push it out. And And, you know, I did what everybody else did when I heard the news. I ran to Twitter and I made a joke about midichlorians and lens flares.
I was just going to say the lens flares thing, because it's like I've watched Star Trek like tons of times at the shop. I think it's a good movie, but I'm like sitting there watching. It's like, what the fuck is going on with these? Like, it's like ridiculous.
If you watch the DVDs, you can. He admits to being indulgent about the lens flares. I don't think we're going to see that in the
I don't think so
one.
Either. I think
it's like an internet joke. Like, it's like things people on the internet are aware of and make fun of that you have to know about that.
And that was the first thing I saw on Facebook, was a picture of the original poster with lens flares on everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, that's the first joke you go to, but that is the worry, is he going to make Star Wars look like Star Trek? And my bigger worry is, I brought it up before, What happens to Star Trek? Is there going to be a Star Trek 3? Does it stop here? Does somebody like a Brett Ratner come
Does
in
somebody
and
else
do
take
3
over?
And it's an X-Men 3 where nobody's happy?
I don't know. I feel if they play it right, I feel he'll do this Star Wars, and obviously it's working because it's getting a huge buzz. So people are like, oh, they're going to make Episode 7. Okay, I guess I might see it. Then you put J.J. Abrams, there's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I think they just did it just to give it that bump. To give it that push where people are going to be
now
like,
it's like
I'm
before
now
everyone was worried about it, and I think you signed J.J. Abrams to it or whatever.
Now
it's like, all right, legitimacy. Like.
I would not be surprised if they go get another director for the 8th one.
I was
and maybe another one for the 9th one, too.
Somebody separate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well, because the press release says that J.J. Abrams is signed for Star Wars Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... He's not doing the trilogy.
Yeah.
So you could see, I mean, you could very easily see Bryan Singer do 8, Joss Whedon do 9.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they're picking a J.J. Abrams means that they're going for this new generation of directors, these, you know, post-Generation X directors.
Yeah.
That are taking on the big franchises and doing huge things with them.
And I'm just excited that, like, it's not his brain trust that's doing Star Wars, because...
And that'll make it different.
That'll make it real different, because it would just, honestly, if it was the case where he was getting his own people to work on Star Wars, then it would just be another version of Star Trek. It would not be at all like I always felt like Star Trek was very, like, science was very involved into it. And Star Wars, there was just a little bit more fantasy.
Right.
With the whole entire idea of the Force and these lightsabers that
and
cut
his
through
Star
anything.
Trek pushes closer to Star Wars than it's ever been done before. I know we're currently ramming Star Trek down your throat, Steven.
Yeah, the original.
And the original, and Stu had on Next Generation before in the shop, so you're starting to get seeped in it.
Yeah, I think I'm seeing a bit, well, I guess a lot more of it than I had, other than like the J.J. Abrams movie and the little I saw as like a kid with, I guess, Next Generation I saw. But it's a very, they're two different animals.
Right.
Other than being out in space, they have very little in common.
Right, and that's what I loved about his Star Trek, was that opening shot where, you know, you're going underneath the ship in this huge widescreen shot. It reminded me how, as we mentioned in the beginning, how low to mid-budget those Star Trek movies were compared to Star Wars.
Yeah.
And when it opened up like this, I was like, oh, wow, this is what you can do with Star Trek with a budget.
Yeah.
But it does inch it closer to Star Wars, and I was really happy with that when I saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see Star Trek Into Darkness. But with him now doing Star Wars, like, what is he going to do differently?
I think that's the problem, is like you said, it's like he has an awesome idea, and it's like, well, which franchise gets it? You know, like, mm-hmm. who is he going to give the boost to? And then, like you said, it's something where, you know, Star Trek, you see these movies, and it's like, well... It's like a television show budget for like a film or whatever, maybe a little slightly increased. But it's like Star Wars, you see all these like ships and things like flying around, and then you do J.J. Abrams Star Trek, you're like, oh yeah, Federation, it's a fleet of ships. There's hundreds of ships, there's thousands of ships, and then you see thousands of ships like flying around doing things.
And he
things,
did a lot more with like casual aliens, like tweaking people's faces and CG and making
a little cheaper and easier than, you know, guy in a reptile suit or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, wrestling Kirk in the desert.
Yeah, they're hanging out in a bar. I mean, the bar in the beginning of Star Trek is very Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think it's...
Except that Han Solo doesn't get his face beaten in.
He doesn't get beat up in any bars. He shoots that one guy.
Kirk does.
Oh, yeah, Kirk does.
Yep.
Gets turned into hamburger. That guy gets so beat up in that movie.
Well,
I always appreciate the heroes, like Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. where it's like...
RoboCop?
This is a guy... I don't know about RoboCop. This is a guy who gets like in way over his head and gets out by the skin of his teeth, but he gets beat up more than like... anybody else in film.
Well, it's funny, we were watching that the William Shatner film, The Captains, in the store, and when he was showing, he was, they did a quick glamour shot of all the six captains because he includes Chris Pine in
yeah.
it. There is not one shot of Chris Pine where he doesn't have like a swollen eye
right, or
like a cut on his face.
Yeah, scar mark.
There's like no handsome shot of Chris Pine anywhere in Star Trek.
I think the ladies would disagree, Jen.
Which will, well, the ladies that like the rough and tumble guys.
Yeah.
I feel like for Star Wars, there's going to be, I think a lot of people are going to be throwing ideas at him. And his role as director is try to consider all these ideas and just keep them, just not go overboard on one idea. It might be a huge just jumble of like people are going to be like, oh, I want to talk about this alien race and that alien race. And let's talk about these people and those people and the bounty hunters and this and this and this. And he's like, whoa, okay, relax. Let's put this all together for the Star Wars movie. But my only thing is, do you think this is going to be more geared towards kids, like Star Wars was always originally supposed to be? Or do you think this is going to be more like older teenagers, young adults?
I think he's going to shoot for all ages with it. Yeah. I think one of the criticisms about the prequels that anytime people poked holes in the prequels, George was like, oh, it's for kids because you were a kid in the 70s. But the original trilogy holds together a lot tighter yeah. than the prequels. I always thought that was just kind of covering his shortcomings. I think J.J. Abrams is going to try to make the biggest sci-fi movie in the world. I mean, let's talk about Avengers, which is right now the biggest sci-fi movie in the yeah. world, if you consider superhero sci-fi. You know, did Joss Whedon make that for kids? Did he make it for older adults? He made that for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, but I think for the most part, they've got to be shooting for like, you know, the 18 to what, 20, 26, 28-year-old who it's like, these are the guys who are going to the shows every week. Like, you know, they'll go see that movie three or four times, like in theaters. Like, it's, you know, parents will take their kid once. And then your kid wants to go see something else, or he wants to go see like a Scooby-Doo
parents
movie
will
or
buy
something.
It for their kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll buy the DVD. But I think the 18 to 20, you know, 6 or 7-year-old, this is the group of people who are like, they'll go see it again and again and again and again and again in theaters. You know, right. And I think it's more like that's, I think, the biggest like cash cow
Let me ask you something, Steven. After the movie Avengers came out, how many parents came in like, oh, my kids want to like get into Avengers.
Yeah,
what comic book should I get them? Yeah. And then you're like, well, in this issue, Brian Michael Bendis has this person swearing a lot. And in this other issue where Brian Michael Bendis is writing, Spider-Woman's whoring around. So
right.
I would go with...
I would avoid none. Brian Michael Bendis.
Period.
So like, yeah, because like, so what did you... What happened during then? Because that's what I saw at the store. As soon as that movie came out, tons of kids were like, I want to read Avengers.
We gave every kid Avengers Assemble. Because they deliberately put that book out with the six movie Avengers in it for the first time, like on one roster.
Was it written for kids, though?
It wasn't written for adults. It was just like, it was just adventure. It was like, hey, Bagley, just draw the Avengers fighting all these superpowered guys. There wasn't like swearing or nudity or anything
right.
crazy.
And there wasn't a lot of continuity either.
So yeah, it was kind of its own thing. They never really explained. Like,
they never really brought it into continuity.
No.
I remember at the time we were saying, well, where does this fit in? Because
yeah.
if this is the team, then what happens in New
yeah,
Avengers?
Yeah, so like a good example is like at the time,
Hulk was split up from Bruce
yeah,
Banner.
Yeah, Silvestri was working on a book with
Jason Aaron.
Jason Aaron. They split the Hulk and then Hulk joins, and then, like, Banner is living on an island doing, like, evil, like, Dr. Moria experiments, and the Hulk's, like, underground taking over, like, the Moloids
mm-hmm.
thing. And then Captain America goes to recruit him in the Avengers book, and Hulk's in, like, the desert, where I guess is, like, the go-to Hulk place. He just
right.
hangs out in the
just
desert.
Jumps around the desert.
But they recruit him, they bring him in the Avengers, and then they never explain in any Hulk book if he's on the Avengers or not. And then in the newest Hulk book Mark Waid's writing, he's off hiding, doing his own thing, and then like S.H.I.E.L.D. recruits him, and no mention that he's an Avenger and working for the Avengers.
Yeah, so it was a self-contained story, even though it was an ongoing series, which was...
Yeah, and Bendis is off it, and Bagley's off it. Now it's like Kelly Sue Dunack,
Deconic yeah.
or something, yeah.
What are you guys excited about, Episode 7? What do you guys want to see?
I want to see Han Solo.
I want to
oh,
see...
Oh, an old Han Solo going...
Yeah, that's what the people want.
Get off my plane. Just says that to people on the Millennium Falcon. Just
get off my Falcon.
Get off my ship.
Do you think there's going to be, like, a better version of the Millennium Falcon? Do you think they're going to be,
mean,
like a newer, updated version?
I think there'll be a new ship.
Wouldn't you think so?
I think...
Because that bird's old. I
yeah,
mean,
but
like...
You know what?
I think we'll get the Millennium Falcon, and they'll make it look like he's holding this thing together with, like, duct tape. It's going to, like... It'd be all rusted.
Maybe,
and because, like,
you know, in the prequels, we never saw it, even though it was supposed to be this really old ship. But in the prequels, Lucas didn't make too much of an attempt to tie the two together. It was almost the reverse of when Next Generation started, that they had to fight Gene Roddenberry to get Worf on the cast of Next Generation because he didn't want any tie to the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
He wanted to pretty much be its own thing, and he was kind of using the Star Trek name just to make sure it would sell.
So,
but he didn't really want to talk about Klingons. He didn't want to talk about the Federation.
Oh, so you're saying like whatever race Worf is, they didn't want to mention that race.
No, he didn't want the character
crew
at all.
Was he in both shows?
He was in... This is before they shot the pilot of Next
Generation. I clearly know nothing about the original Star
I don't know.
Trek.
I know who Worf is because I had an action figure when I was a kid.
Right,
I know.
Well, the Klingons are basically the villains in
Star Trek. Yeah, oh, Worf's a Klingon.
In the original Star Trek, yes, and Worf is a Klingon.
Sometimes I just want to say stuff like that to offend people because nerds are like, of course Worf is a Klingon, and it's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to talk to us on our Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm. Or you can come find me in the store.
Life Model Decoy. Mm-hmm. But like, I would like the Millennium Falcon to blow up eventually.
My point was in the prequel.
Wearing the vest.
In the prequels, Lucas stayed
power vest.
Lucas stayed away from a lot of the tropes other than Jedis.
Yeah.
From the original trilogy in the same way that,
yeah, but
that
he was doing
Next Generation for a long time stayed away from original series stuff, and then as it went on, it drew ties together. Now that Lucas isn't running it, we might see more ties.
I think we will, because even Lucas seemed like in the first movie or two, it's like, all right, he's trying not to like do these tie-in things, and then like by the third movie, you had like Yoda hanging out with like Chewbacca and being like, ah, my friend Chewbacca. And it's just like, what the
and
fuck?
That killed me.
What the hell?
I like it.
That was dumb.
No.
It was just
they
like
they never meet in the original
That's
trilogy.
What I'm saying. It's such a cheap, easy, well, they never meet, so they the universe is like billions of light years across, and like these two fucking characters just happen to meet who happen to know two guys who know each other.
The thing
get
is,
the fuck out of here.
You're telling me Yoda and Chewbacca walking through the jungle is not awesome?
It's cool, like,
done!
When I'm eight. That's like something I would have drawn when I was eight. Like, Chewbacca hangs out with Yoda in the forest.
Yeah, and you know what? It speaks to the eight-year-old of me. The same way in episode two, the only good thing in episode two, I think everybody agrees, is when Yoda fights Christopher Lee with lightsabers.
Well, that was cool just because it's ridiculous.
Right.
But like,
the same thing.
Vader builds, what's that robot?
That's stupid.
In his garage? It's like, what the f- like,
that's
that
stupid.
Was dumb.
Also because they meet.
Yeah, and like what
in Empire, and like Darth Vader's like, oh yeah, that's a robot.
There's that robot I built that one time. Like, what the fuck?
What are they doing? Someone stole my ideas. Actually, you know what? There are... He's a protocore droid, right?
That's what I'm saying. If
there's tons of them.
Yeah.
Someone stole Darth Vader's plans for protocore droids, and he probably never got money for
it. He didn't get any royalties.
He didn't invent the protocore droid.
Well, he just happened to build it to look like every other protocore
droid. He was building a model protocol droid.
Which he got off the internet.
And then...
Blueprints for.
And then it falls apart. Because he did put... In the first one, he's like, oh, wires.
Yeah.
But then they do put like the regular case on him in episode two... And then in episode three, they paint him gold.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
See, these are all the problems with the prequels.
Yeah.
So,
this is why we shouldn't be doing prequels.
Are these... Yeah,
you hear me, Pixar? Monsters U? No more prequels. But what do you think the droids
is
are going to be like?
Is Monsters U a prequel or a sequel?
It is.
It's a prequel.
I thought it was
a sequel. I like your idea a lot better.
Because I had heard that it was a sequel where they're teachers, and then I'd heard it's a prequel where they're students.
The last thing I read... was it was a prequel, and they said, like, you ever wonder how Scully and Mike Wazowski and Scully, is that the character's name?
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, Mike and Scully, like, how they meet? They meet in college.
I don't
and
care.
No, I don't
in
care
fact,
either.
Never occurred to
do
me.
Do the new movie and just have, like, a flashback scene of them as kids or something.
It would have been completely justified. Someone said that...
so dumb.
But it's all in the execution because, you know, going back to J.J. Abrams' Star Trek, they had been pitching that in the Star Trek book I read... They had been pitching young Kirk and young Spock at Starfleet Academy since the mid-90s.
Yeah, but that's...
And when J.J. Abrams did it, it was great.
Yeah, but it was his own universe, though, so it's like, you're not like, oh, these guys are going to be buddies and pal around like they did in the show. It's like, no, they hate each other, and Spock's going to try
to
kill
him.
Yeah,
but they do grow together, and I'm sure we'll see in Star Trek Into Darkness that they're as
yeah,
close
and that's
as Shatner
fine,
and Nemo.
But now you see that like journey, and it's still different, though. Like, it's a different... I don't know. It's its own thing.
Let me ask you guys something. JJ, you guys are all familiar with JJ Abrams and his movies, right?
Tangentially.
What what strengths do you think he's going to bring to episode 7?
He's an intense plotter.
Uh-huh.
I think he can kind of lead you through a complicated plot without letting you get lost, which the plots are the weakest things in Star Wars. However, he's handed a script.
Yeah.
So he's not going to lose track of the plot in it, but he's going to stick to what Michael Arndt wrote.
But he won't even have a chance to write it like he did Star Trek. He wrote part of Star Trek.
He wrote all of Star Trek.
Yeah, see, like, Star Trek I really liked because it was a reboot without ignoring like everything that came before.
And they
like,
explained. Yeah, they explained how it was a reboot.
That was
so
awesome.
Fans were like, "What are you? Oh, okay, this is okay.
Well, yeah, exactly. Stuff
still? They really had their cake and ate it too by putting Leonard Nimoy in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's still a lot of fans that are mad because they're like, oh, well, in this rebooted universe, that means Next Generation didn't happen. My argument has always been,
It did happen.
Leonard Nimoy's there, Next Generation happened.
Yeah.
And there's a great IDW comic called Countdown, which they put out at the same time. It's still in trade, that shows that the ship that Spock is flying with, like, the spinning propeller thing, that actually Geordi and Picard build that for him.
That's awesome.
So it's a really good comic. It's like a 4-issue limited series.
Yeah.
Can you get that at Chimera Comics?
I believe I saw it on the
shelf.
You
can. It right and, this
at,
moment.
At 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange Park, Illinois?
That's right. LaGrange, Illinois, not LaGrange Park. I don't know where that
LaGrange,
is.
LaGrange. I have no idea LaGrange, what I was just saying. Illinois. I want to go to a park.
If this was live, you could follow Dave and Steve back to the store.
That's true.
And give them creepy looks the whole way.
The whole way. I heard your voice.
And then buy this. I heard this was good.
It was good.
I want to be on the podcast next time.
Okay. I'll put you in the Rolodex.
All right. We record at midnight in the alley.
So
meet us there.
So the two questions I posed first, it sounds like the first question, is this good for Star Wars? It sounds like we're all agreed.
Yeah, I think it'll, because I think there was enough, like, the prequels kind of put everyone a bad taste in their mouth. So it's like, all new Star Wars movies suck. So when they're like, we're going to do episode 7, everyone's like, it's going to suck. And then you like, J.J. Abrams is going to do it. And everyone's like, it's going to be fucking awesome. And everyone's like, you said, the internet's like on fire
right.
with this. So
which
it's
is
like,
why we're doing this on Saturday.
Yeah. So I think there is enough of a, I think it'll be huge. I think it's going to do.
I was never a big fan of the prequels. Just the idea of the prequel. Excuse me, my pacemaker's going off.
He's all right. So excited about J.J. Abrams. He's having a heart attack.
Okay. Everything's good now. I always enjoy sequels. I always feel like there's somewhere else to go with the story. You never want to hear stuff that happened before the story happened. There's so much expanded universe on Star Wars, and there's books and stuff like that. Like it's all supposed to be in continuity. Yeah, and it grew into such a big thing.
Well,
so
Lucas
like
said, it wasn't when he was doing the prequels because he gave himself an out if he contradicted anything.
Yeah, there's so much out there. I think at this point, it's hard to know if you're.
He took a Jedi from one of the comics and placed her in the second one. It's like one of those female Jedis that has the tentacle things. Yeah, like she
you
was.
Know she has a name. They name these characters.
They name all. Well, I
for toy purposes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They
makes
have
sense.
To put something on the card.
Yeah, that's true.
But she was in the expanded universe, and he liked her so much that they put her in episode 2. But like I said, Star Wars expanded universe. Honestly, I'm a big fan of it. I'm not too up to date on it, but I just enjoy it because the stories get really good, especially when you give it to people that grew up on it. They all have imaginations. They all want to tell their story. So, and it's nice to see a Star Wars story from a fan. And that's why I feel the sequel idea was going to be great. I'm like, oh man, there's so much to go on. J.J. Abrams, when I heard that he was directing it, I felt kind of bad because if it was his team doing it, I was like, oh great, it's going to be so close to Star Trek or just so close to what his style is that it's not going to be. It's not going to be like in the Star Wars. It's not going to have the Star Wars feeling. But like when you get other people contributing to it too, I was a little bit more relaxed and happy about it because now it's like, now we're going to get that Star Wars feeling, you know? Yeah. Everyone's going to be pitching in and putting their 2 cents in and it's going to be great. And like you said, John, like he has his strong suit is the fact that he could take you through the plot and you won't get lost. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be like, we're going here, here, and here. Follow along.
Yeah, I think it's good. I have a weakness for sequels to begin with. If I like the first movie enough, I will watch every bad sequel. You know, when I look through my DVD collection, all the worst movies that I own on DVD and Blu-ray
are all sequels.
They're all sequels to good movies.
Weekends at Bernie's too?
Yeah, I think that's even better. Because why is he still dead? Why isn't he a zombie-like corpse? That would be fun.
That would have been a better movie.
Oh, man, let's make a trilogy.
They really got to backpedal to come up with reasons why he's still sleeping. But he has no tongue. Well, you know, he's on vacation. He don't want to talk to you.
No.
But yeah, the worst movies I have in my collection are like, you know, I have all the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I have all the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, I have X-Men 3. I have Superman 4. I have Batman and Robin, which I hate more than any other movie. But I have it because it's a sequel to movies I like. So I'm excited about this. I feel like each announcement they give puts it in better and better hands.
Yeah.
Like, I was glad when it went over to Disney. I was glad when Michael Arndt wrote the screenplay. I'm glad about this. So my second question, and I think we'll wrap up with this, is what does this mean for Star Trek? How do you feel about where Star Trek is going if the person in charge is now being pulled over to its main competitor?
Yeah. I think Star Wars in theaters will always do better than Star Trek. And I think that's what will happen. Star Wars will come out. Star Trek will come out. It'll do good. Probably close to what the first one did, maybe a little bit better. And yeah, then
probably not as well as Iron Man 3.
Right. Summer. I think Iron Man 3 will rock.
That'll be the movie.
Yeah. And then I think when Star Wars comes out, it'll do so good that J.J. Abrams will be like, well, this will make more money for me. Like, I'm going to do Star Wars, you know, 8, 9, and 10 or whatever. And he'll just kind of lose interest in Star Trek, I think. And I think this hurts Star Trek, I think.
Yeah, that's my worry. And so that now Star Trek, my worry is in the place where it was before, but it's in the place Star Wars had been. Of like, well, now who do we find that's going to take it to the next place?
I don't think it'll hurt Star Trek. I still think it's kind of like he still has his team working on Star Trek, and you know he's going to be, like, you know, as any creator, it's nice to work with other creators, like, with different opinions, but it's so much better to be working, like, with your band. Like, let's say, for example, like, the Beatles, like, oh, you know, like, George Harrison had a great time working with, like, Tom Petty and other artists when they... When he formed that band.
George Harrison would say, Traveling Wilburys.
But nothing compares to playing with the Beatles. And I think that's what J.J. Abrams is going to be. He's going to be like, oh, it was great working on Star Wars.
But it's not as fun working with all my friends on Star Trek.
Yeah, and that's why I think the third Star Trek will still come out with J.J. Abrams. And let's admit it, guys. Like, it's Star Trek 1 came out. What year did it come out?
2009.
Yeah.
And now this one's coming out this summer?
Yeah.
2013?
Yeah, it got pushed back. It was supposed to be... I think it was supposed to be last summer. I think it was supposed to be 3 years.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we'll get our Star Wars, and then like a year after that, we'll probably get another Star Trek coming out.
That's actually a really good point. If Bad Robot is still running it, there's nothing to say that J.J. Abrams has to direct the third one. He could very easily produce it and have like Damon Lindelof direct
it. Godfather it in.
You know, or one of the other guys. He's done so many shows, you know, and most of these shows, he's done the pilot, worked on the Bible, stepped away. He only did the pilot for Lost.
Yeah.
I mean, Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse did the rest of the show. I mean, he really wasn't hands-on after that, but they're guys that he trusts. So he could very easily hand it off to somebody who will do a great job.
And if you already have, like, the first and the middle of it done, I mean, the only thing you got to do is let the third guy close it, you know?
Right, if it is going to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
Which, I'm getting the feeling, just looking at this trailer, this feels like an act two. Like, it feels like... Okay, Star Trek 1, they got all the characters together. Like Benedict Cumberbatch, whoever he is going to wreck everything for them in this movie.
And then they got to assemble.
And then
the third one,
they have to regroup. And then J.J. Abrams can reboot Next Generation.
There you go.
And find another bald English guy.
Right.
All right, well, as I said, that was the emergency podcast. I think you all needed to hear this so you can relax.
Yeah, everyone, chill out.
Yeah, calm down. It's Saturday, we're drinking.
Life is good.
Revolt. I say, go on the internet. And just attack whoever you want to attack. Yeah. Penguins.
Whatever.
The maker of yo-yos. Whoever.
I say attack your computer. Just take your laptop and punch the keyboard until letters come flying out.
Before it becomes self-aware.
And you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys. And until next time, Jesus is a powerful Gandalf.